praise his name.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I can let you preach if you wanted to. Well, what have we been studying around this camp for the last several months?
Worship.
Worship. Man, you're going to realize when you get to heaven, you were trained well.
Amen.
We got to learn how to worship God now. When we get to heaven, it'll just be a thing.
Amen.
Just be a thing. Tonight, I'm going to begin kind of where I left off a little bit last week. If you have your Bibles, go over to Matthew chapter 6. Verse 33, I was there until something happened to my machine. It's on the screen, but I need my notes to the verse on the screen. Let's just read what it says until I get there then, okay? And I specifically want to look at just a couple of verses. It says, when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand and know what is thy right hand doeth. That thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. This is setting up a principle that what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. Verse 5, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the street, that they may be seen of men. Now watch what he says. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, what you do in private, God will reward you. What you do in secret, God rewards you openly.
Amen.
So private worship, when you do it one-on-one. It's good to be able to come in the sanctuary and worship God, but first learn to worship God one-on-one. Now, if you want to have music playing in the background when you worship God, I'm not going to argue with that. That's cool. But the way I learned the old-fashioned way. I just went in there and shut off my lights and closed my door, and it was just him and me.
Amen.
And for the first several days, I felt like I was trying to con the man. I felt like I was lying. I just felt so uncomfortable. You know why? My flesh didn't want me to worship God. Same will happen to you. Don't shout me down now when I'm preaching real good. But Devin, what was the last verse there on that list? Was it
3 through 5?
I thought I had another one on there. Which one is somebody in your Bible? Look down about the one that says. Let's see, it's fasting. Try verse 13 or 14. I think it is 16. And what did somebody read that? From the authorized, you know, I'm kidding. Whatever translation you have, read it if you don't mind.
Moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward.
See, what you do in private, God rewards you openly.
Amen.
He talked about giving. He talked about fasting. He talked about praying.
Amen.
Covers three areas of your life. So the thing is, you need to do this privately. Just so that everybody will know, I'm teaching from the book by Norval Hayes called Unleashing the Supernatural Power of God. Did I get everybody the book? I think there was somebody. I didn't get it to you. Sorry. I didn't get it. Did you give me your email address? You requested? Did you send me a text? Listen, I flunked mine reading the first semester in college. I dropped out of the course. You got to send me a note. Did you get yours? I sent it to you. I know I sent it to you.
Miss Barbara has it. She said she gave it to Robert.
Okay.
Robert's going to send a word document to her.
Okay. Robert has it too. Okay. Those of you who have it, you have it now, right?
Oh, yeah.
Can you send it to Miss Barbara?
Okay, sure.
Please do. I sent it to you. Check in your email. I don't know if it was spam or whatever, but I know I sent it. Okay. But if you want it, we'll give it to you. It's about a 76-page document. Is it that long? Something like that. But we're teaching out of it, so we're good to go. If you have your Bibles, go over to Psalm 111, Psalm 111. Last week we were in verse 1. This week we're going to be in verse 2. the works of the Lord are great. Psalms 111 verse 2 says, the works of the Lord are great, shout out of them that have pleasure therein. Now that's old King James language. Who has a more easier rendition of that verse? I know what it means, and I can preach what it means, and I will preach what it means here in a minute, but what does it say, in the, did I do that? What does it say in the, who has a non-authorized King James version? What do you have, sir?
Psalm 111?
Yeah, verse 2.
The works of the Lord are great, all who have pleasure in them.
Now, what was that word, sought out by all or studied by all? Study by all. So the thing is that you get great pleasure when you begin to study and you begin to seek the works of the Lord. So tonight, let's begin by talking about what exactly are the works of the Lord and what do they include? That may be a question. The works of the Lord, first of all, it is salvation for you and your entire family. Folks, you should be praying for your entire families. You ought to be in private worship and saying, Father, I thank you that you've proven, that you have said in your word, that me and my whole household can be saved, and begin to thank God for that. I love you, Father, because you want my entire family saved. You love me and you love my entire family. Now, there may be some roughnecks, some renegades, some ornery folk, but God still loves them. God still loves them. Okay? God still loves them. So it says this, that your whole family, if your faith wavereth not. In other words, don't look at your family through the eyes of being a family member. Many times we judge our family members because we live with them and fought with them and argue with them and all kinds of stuff with them. And we look at them through those eyes. Don't look at them through those eyes. Look at them through the eyes of the Father. And worship will allow you to see them through the eyes of the Father. God loves them.
Amen.
I don't care if they're out pimping on the corner. Yeah, I said it, pimping. I don't care if they're out running drugs. God loves them. I don't care if they're one of the sisters on the street with the short skirt. God loves them. God loves them. And instead of the church condemning them, we need to learn how to love them. Well, Pastor Ron, you don't know how we're going to do that. Get in your worship closet and he'll show you how. I used to always say this. I still do. I said, God will say anything to himself. And when you get close enough, you'll hear what he's saying to himself. In worship, you can get close to God. You can hear what he's saying. He's not trying to keep things from you. It's just like when he told Jesus. Jesus said, there's so many things I want to teach you, but you can't bear them. Well, there's a lot of stuff God wants to teach you, but you can't bear it. Now, their excuse was they didn't have the new nature. They weren't filled with they weren't born again. I won't say filled with the Holy Ghost. They weren't born again. You have a new nature.
Amen.
You're able to commune with God one-on-one. You have that kind of nature. Amen?
Amen.
The works of the Lord God Almighty are health to your body. The works of the Lord are miracles when you need them. See, we don't have to believe. We don't have to say, I hope God gives miracles. No, God wants to do miracles in your life. He's not holding them back, folks. It's us. We're the variable in the equation. We're up and down, sideways, all over the place. Somebody cuts us off and then, all that kind of stuff. You know, nobody said that the way you drew life up is the way it was going to be. God never told you that you were never going to have a problem. He never told you that. But here's what he told you. Praise be unto God, who always causes us to triumph.
Amen.
In his name.
Amen.
So we always come through it.
Amen.
Like the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro.
Amen.
They came out without the smell of smoke on them. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? God wasn't, it wasn't about the fire. It was about who they were. It's not what you're going through. It's who you have become. One thing I'm going to teach in contending for the faith, that the term is contending for the faith. Many like to read that as contending for faith. No, it's contending for the faith. The faith is a perspective. It's the way I live. It's who I have become. It's something I do every day. It's where I live. I don't have to believe God for a miracle. I'm already in faith for one. When I go to a situation and I'm going, well, I don't have anything to give you, but, you know, silver and gold have I none, but as I have, I give unto you, and here comes the healing power of God.
Amen.
He's not a respecter of persons. And we're going to talk about what they were doing, I think, in tonight. Let me quit getting ahead of myself, okay? The works of the Lord are miracles when you need them. The works of the Lord are 9 gifts of the Spirit for anyone that will believe in him. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that will have pleasure therein. You've got to seek out the works of God.
Amen.
You just can't be passive about it. You've got to seek them out. You know, the church thinks just because it has the Holy Ghost in them that everything is fine. When we talk about contending for the faith, that's not enough to be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
You got to go one step further. Mm-hmm. Come to the meeting and find out what it is. As ministers, we all wish the world knew how great the works of the Lord were. This isn't a good testimony, but we all wish all the church knew it too. I wish the church knew the works of the Lord. I wish we knew what they were. Many of us would not be depressed. If you know someone who's depressed, they don't know the works of the Lord.
Amen.
They need to know the works of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We know that some of them do, but it's unfortunate when people who are always working hard to build buildings in their own strength, instead of enjoying the great works of the Lord, they're striving to do things in God.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't want you doing that. You know, eventually, this group, we may become a church.
Amen.
But you know how we'll finance it?
Mm-hmm.
He will, not me.
Praise the Lord.
He's paid the bills this far.
Glory.
You know, I just thought about something. Do you remember when we went to the hotel the first time? And man, I look at the hotel, I'm going, I could never afford this.
Mm-hmm.
I remember saying that when we were there that day. I said, man, I could never afford this. I don't know how we could ever pay for this. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm just being honest with you. You know, now don't look at me so self-righteous. You've had your things too. You know, and then God began to deal with me and said, you know what? I never asked you to write a check. I never asked you to write one check. I just asked you to do what I called you to do. And since that time, he's written every check.
Praise the Lord.
He's paid the bill, man.
Right.
Paid the bill.
Hallelujah.
In fact, we were so blessed when we came to this building, we decided to pay this church more than what they wanted.
Amen.
Because we wanted to be a blessing to them.
Amen.
And to this day, we have visitors here. We don't try to pull an offering out of you.
Amen.
If you don't want to give and put any money in them blue buckets, don't. You won't hear that in most churches. Pastor, aren't you concerned about your finances? No, that's his job.
Amen.
Where are you from originally? What's your home country? Vietnam. God will wake up somebody in Vietnam.
Amen.
And said, I want you to send a fast-talking black preacher in Houston, Texas, on 34th Street, a check for $1,000. I'll never know who they are. But it'll happen. That's called faith.
Amen.
That's contending for the faith. Let me get back to my message.
Mm-hmm.
The church is full of a lot of sweet people who spend lots of money, millions of dollars on buildings for the Lord, but because of the doctrine that they're living under, the doctrine that was preached to them, they never get to enjoy the works of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
The works of the Lord, he's already done the work.
Amen.
It's our job to believe for what he's already done.
Amen.
The works of the Lord are great, and they are manifested, now get this, they're manifested when you're willing to spend time in worship and praise,
mm-hmm.
privately. As long as you reject worshiping God and praising him and glorifying his name, you'll have no knowledge of his works being great. You will be leaving Jesus out of your life because you are failing to keep your eyes on him. There's a scripture that says, he will keep him in perfect peace.
Amen.
You know why people don't have peace these days? They got their eyes on the circumstances. They got their eyes on somebody else's wife. They got their eyes on something. Oh, don't chop it down now.
Amen.
Don't chop it. They got your eyes on somebody else's car, somebody else's home.
Yeah.
You got your eyes on that. You don't have your eyes on him.
Amen.
He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him.
Amen.
Trusting in him. Amen.
Yeah.
The works of the Lord are healing. Some Jews in Jerusalem saw some of the healing works of the Lord, and they were amazed at what they saw. Go over to Acts chapter 3. Now, Peter and John went up to the temple together on the ninth hour for prayer, and being the ninth hour, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which was called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping stood up, walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God. Why? They were amazed. Why? They just saw this guy for 20 some odd years. He wasn't moving.
Amen.
Now, you know what the Pharisee said?
Mm-hmm.
Why did he heal him on the Sabbath?
Mm-hmm.
Don't shut me down now.
And
they knew that it was he which sat for the alms at the beautiful gate in the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened unto him. Now, here's what I want you to see, though. Within a few minutes, that crippled man was totally normal. His leg wasn't crooked anymore. He went walking and leaping, praising God. And when the Jews saw it, they were amazed. But the Jews didn't believe in Jesus. When they saw the crippled man leap, then they did. You would too, especially if you had someone who was crippled in your home, and all of a sudden one day he gets up and he walks. You would believe that God's works are real. We too should have pleasure in the works of the Lord. But now I want you to notice this. What was their lifestyle like before the miracle? Let's take a look at it. Go over to Acts chapter 2, verse 46 through 47. Now, again, I'm reading now the Authorized King James Version, the one that God blessed and sanctified to be real, okay? Y'all know I'm just kidding about that, right? Okay. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now watch 47. They were what?
Praising God
and having favor with all the people. See, if church, Mike told me this. What's that place? What are those people called? Upper Room? They went to wasn't an abortion clinic? They went to the homosexual district in Dallas. Now get this. They didn't pass our tracts. They didn't get a big old soapbox and begin to preach. You know what they did? They worship God. The church is going to learn the power in worship eventually. And we're going to quit trying to force people to believe in Jesus and begin to let God and his glory just begin to fall on them. Well, will God fall on people having abortion? If he'll fall on you, he'll fall on them.
Amen.
He's not a respecter of persons.
Amen.
And the thing is, we got to step back and get out of the way and let God do his thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what we need to do is go to these places. Even I was telling Mike, I said, we ought to just go over to, you know, one day we need to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Just go over to this big old Planned Parenthood area. All y'all hop in your cars and go over there, and we ought to just go out there on a Friday afternoon and just worship God. We're not going to pass out any tracts. We're not going to tell somebody how bad it is to kill an unborn child. We're not going to do anything. We're just going to worship God.
Amen.
We're going to give him praise and glory and honor, and let the conviction, let the power and the conviction of the Holy Ghost begin to fall on the place. And when they come, they say, what y'all doing? We just worshiping God. Just worshiping God. That's all we're doing. We're just worshiping God. See, this is why the church needs to learn how to move in the supernatural. God wants to do great and mighty things. But we've got to learn how to get out of the way, get our old programs out of the way, and say, God, it's your thing. You do your thing. But we're going to think about that. That's actually not a bad idea. But the point is, they were worshiping God before this miracle happened. This is why you see us now. We pray in the Spirit for a while, and then we begin to worship God. Amen. We didn't pattern our personal prayer time after any church. I know very few churches that begin their services praying in the Spirit. I know one in North or South Korea? I get them commitment. Dr. Youngi Cho, South Korea. I know, Ben, when they get together, you don't sit there and communicate and talk about how your day was. No. They get there 2 and 3 hours before the service, and they're in that sanctuary, and they're not complaining, and they're not aggravated about something. They're praying in the Spirit, and that's why they see miracles. If you're sick, they have a place where they'll take you about maybe a quarter of a mile from that place, and you don't get loose until you get healed.
Go ahead now.
They don't stop.
Amen.
Do they have YouTube?
No. I don't know. I really don't know. The works of the Lord are financial provision. One day, God shared with Brother Norley, he said this. He says, I want my people to spend time worshiping me. I want to see my church worship. But more than that, I want individuals to worship me, especially when those individuals get alone with me.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to learn to worship God alone. Now, again, if you want a CD in there, you can put a CD in there. I learned the old-fashioned way. I don't have anything on.
Amen.
When we go into worship, it's just him and I. And I thank God I learned that way.
Amen.
Okay? I thank God I learned that way.
Amen.
I can be anywhere. I can be in my truck. I can be out there barbecuing, and I can start worshiping God.
Glory.
And the briskets and the chickens and the sausages come out the same. Maybe a little bit better. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm in a wild mood tonight, I guess, okay?
Go ahead now.
When God told Brother Norwell that, he began to worship God more and more. He began to spend time worshiping and praising him more and more. When Brother Norwell put worship and praise first, his testimony is his finances begin to come to him and to his ministry. See, we learned this long time ago. We learned that we don't have to beg you for finances. We learned that we don't have to get God to do anything for us. We just have to release our faith.
Amen.
The same thing will also work within your church. But your pastor has to have the want to worship God. It's not something that can be forced on somebody. So please don't leave here and go to your home church and say, you got to worship God. No. You start worshiping God. You start praying for your pastor. You start lifting up the leaders in that church, and you begin to believe God will begin to touch their hearts and begin to worship God. Maybe they'll come here and hear a message on worship, and they'll begin to spend time worshiping God. Pastors all over the city of Houston, all over America, they must begin to spend time worshiping God and praising him and looking toward heaven rather than always seeing the needs and the lack of money. See, God will fund his projects.
Amen.
He'll fund whatever project he wants to put on. He'll fund it. It's his project. He'll fund it. But now he won't fund your silliness, but he'll fund his own projects. When we put everything in his proper perspective, getting before him and worshiping him and not worshiping our problems, then God will provide, and you'll see hundreds of thousands of dollars added to your church's account and added to your personal account.
Amen.
Listen, you can't worship God enough. You can't love God too much. Mm-hmm. You can't give him praise too much.
Amen.
The problem is our flesh likes to put a limit on it. You may say, well, where is all this money going to come from?
Mm-hmm.
Who in the world, Brother Norville's response was, who in the world knows where it comes from? I don't always know myself. I just know that God see to it that it comes.
Amen.
God makes it, has guaranteed us, Brother Norville and anybody else that will spend time worshiping him, he makes certain that the finances will come. One day God will ask us to do something. And when he does it, initially we may think, how are we ever going to do that? We're not going to do that. We're going to go, if he asks us to do it, he'll finance it. Our job is to spend time worshiping him. Brother Norville's testimony was, he was in Florida one day, and he was there praying. Or there was a man in Florida, and he was praying. And he said, Brother Norville, the Lord told me to send your ministry a check for $26,000. He said he went in and told his wife about it, and she said, I don't agree with that. To which he told his wife, honey, I know what the Lord told me. I was praying, and God told me to send Norville Hayes' ministry a check for $26,000. So you go and pray yourself and ask God about it. She went to her room and started praying. After she had prayed for a while, she came out and said, send Brother Norville the check.
Amen.
And he did. Brother Norville emphatically says that this kind of thing happens to him all the time. He repeats, all the time. Brother Norville says that his ministry has money in the bank, but it's needed with all that he's required in his office and Bible school. There's always something that needs to be done. He believes his ministry ought to have a certain amount of money just as a nest egg.
Amen.
This ministry has a nest egg.
Amen.
This ministry doesn't operate from paycheck to paycheck or from offering to offering.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Now, I'm not trying to put the finances of the church of our Bible study out on display, but what I'm saying is God meets our needs.
Amen.
Now, people say, well, people are just not going to give. I could care less. I really don't care. See, I'm not believing you for anything in this ministry. If I would have believed in you, you let me down. How long have we been around now? This is our fifth year? 4 years? I keep saying 5 years. He keeps saying, does anybody know when we started? No, not in the sanctuary when we officially started the Bible study over on West Park. Does anybody, huh?
2014, June
2014. Well, that's 4 years then, right? Okay, he was right. I kept saying 5 years. I guess I'm speaking prophetically. I don't know.
Praise the Lord.
The works of the Lord are gifts from the Spirit. One time, Brother Noble was holding a meeting in San Antonio, Texas, and a lady came up to him and prayed to ask for prayer. And when he laid his hands on her, she raised up her hands and began to praise the Lord. All of a sudden, she broke down and began to weep. It seemed different with her as she was praising the Lord. Both of her hands were being held out as if she was playing a piano. And as he continued praising Jesus, her body was standing still, but both her hands were moving from left to right. She was praising the Lord with her mouth, and with her hands, tears were just streaming down her face. She must have stood there and did that for 20 minutes. And when she looked around at her, the Spirit of God said, I'm teaching her to play the organ.
Wow.
As we saw in Psalm 111, verse 2, the works of the Lord are great, but you will never know how great, and you will never know about the great works of God until you bow down before him and begin to worship
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
To worship him, you've got to spend time praising his name and glorifying him. Just like we did tonight.
Amen.
This woman's husband was standing with her by this time. I walked over to them and said to her, the Holy Ghost just spoke to me, and he's teaching her to play the organ. After that happened, God unfolded the organ to her and taught her to play it by ministering to her through her hand. She began to play the organ like a professional. She was so good, in fact, that the pastor of a large congregation here in Houston, Texas, had her come to his church and play for them. She was so good on the organ that she played in that church for 3 to 4 months.
Wow.
The works of the Lord are for the next generation as well. If you will give your talent to God and dedicate yourself to him, God will do the same kind of work in your offspring that he's done in you.
Amen.
Folks, we're going to have to spend time praying over this generation behind us.
Amen.
They've never, how many in here have seen God make a leg grow out? How many of you have ever seen that? See, it's very few. How many of you have seen blind eyes open? Very few. How many of you have seen a broken bone heal instantaneously?
Mine.
Well, amen. Very few. See, this generation behind us has got to see the works of the Lord.
Amen.
It's our responsibility to make sure they not know about them, but they also see them in action.
Amen.
I remember the first time I was at Lakewood Church, and there was a lady that came in. She had pins everywhere. She had them in her legs. She had them in all. I guess she had been in a bad car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And man, Brother Osteen laid his hands on her. And man, she hopped out of that wheelchair and she ran all the way back to the bookstore and stood right beside me. And I looked and said, I'm going to take a good look at this. And I saw that stuff in her body. I mean, you know how you got they kind of circle the body, circle the arm or the leg, and they got these pins, and they like they're attached to the bone. I saw all that. And this woman was running around and flagging, just flinging her hands like this, like she was totally healed. But see, people haven't seen, this younger generation, they haven't seen that. I've witnessed that. But this younger generation has to witness that. We have got to begin to show them what these works are.
Amen.
Well, he goes on to testify and said, this happened through a mother and daughter after she ministered to her at a time in San Antonio. He met a lady who was a viola player. Viola player? What's the viola? Viola? Okay, like a cello type thing?
Not as big as a cello, between a cello and...
See, you can tell I am musically inclined, okay? All right, praise the Lord. A lower tone violin, okay. See, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, so... She said, Brother Noble, would you come to my house and talk to my husband and beg him and let me work for Jesus? And Brother Noble had been with them and talked with them for a long time about the importance of her being open to the Lord's work. And then Brother Noble sat down with this woman's husband, and she said, now, you're not married to a normal girl. Your wife has been dedicated, deeply dedicated to the Lord, and she is heavily anointed of God. He is going to do great and mighty things for her because she would go anywhere for him. One time she was willing to drive 500 miles one way to play one song on her viola. Is that how you say that, viola?
Viola,
excuse me. See, I'm from the country, sorry. Viola. It's French? Okay. One time she drove to Shreveport, Louisiana, where he was holding a meeting, and she started to play the viola, and the Lord healed a crippled man instantly that was sitting on the front row. And when that happened, then people started to get healed all in that building.
Amen.
All she did was just simply play the viola as God led her. When you start praising God with string instruments, with your voice, it's amazing what God will do. He wants his people to praise him.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, I can't make that point more emphatically. He wants his church to begin to praise him.
Amen.
How many of you ever gone to a concert, a secular concert before? Now, when you went to a concert, did you just sit there and go, this is good?
No.
Oh, wow. Yay. Wow, I'm sure glad I'm here. That's not the way you act at the concert. No, you yelled, you screamed, you shouted, you ran. There are people that run down to the very front and try to get on the stage if they can. Well, that's what God is talking about. That's how we ought to worship him. Not because he tells us to, but because it's the way you show your appreciation, your adoration, your love for him. First, the lady used her string instrument to praise the Lord. Then she was blessed with the baby girl that was born to her. And when that daughter grew up in her teens, the Lord gave her a singing voice. And he anointed that voice, and by the age of 15, she was given the ability to write songs. Now that lady is exactly like her mother. She will go anywhere, any place, anytime, whenever she's allowed to do something for Jesus. The works of the Lord are already prepared for you. The works of the Lord are already prepared. The works of the Lord are already prepared for you. Let me say it this way. They're waiting on you. We're not waiting on them. They're waiting on you. They are available to all who will worship and praise the Lord for all he has done and ever will do for us. See, there is a worship praise right there. Just spend time saying, Father, I thank you for all that you're doing. I thank you for all that you've done and all that you're going to do in my life. I just give you praise. Now, I know many of you want to get into a flowery speech, but God is not interested in your flowery speech. He's not concerned with how eloquently you sound. He's only concerned that it comes from your heart.
Amen.
That's all he's concerned. He just wants it to come from your heart. When you worship and praise God, it is as if you're sitting down at God's table and set with beautiful dishes and abundant food. Everything you will ever need in your life has been set before you on God's table. Every dish on this table has a big and great sign on its bowl with the words like salvation, healing, miracles, deliverance, knowledge, wisdom, finances. What are you looking for? It's on that table.
Amen.
I say it's on that table.
Amen.
Now the food inside is already prepared for you. You don't have to hire anybody to prepare this meal. It's already been prepared and paid for. All you have to do, now get this, is to get yourself in shape.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can sit down and freely eat from God's table where his great works are available to you through his word.
Amen.
Now I'm going to teach you something here right now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? You've got to get yourself in shape. You get yourself in shape by building your faith and learning the promises of God, learning that the promises of God are for you.
Amen.
Quit thinking that God wouldn't do it for me. That's one thing private worship will change. When you begin to tell God how much you love him and you begin to worship him, and yes, that's all you've got to tell him. You don't have to have this eloquent speech. All you have to tell him is how much you love him, how much you adore him, and here's what will happen. All of the doubt and unbelief will leave your natural mind.
Amen.
Now, it doesn't really leave because it's your unrenewed mind. But what happens is God begins to help you turn off the unrenewed mind and you tap into the mind of the Spirit.
Amen.
And that mind knows nothing but God Almighty. That mind doesn't know failure. That mind doesn't know defeat. That mind doesn't understand poverty. That mind doesn't understand sickness and disease. It doesn't understand that. All it understands is one thing. By his stripes, you were healed. That's all it understands. It won't do anything else. It won't compute anything else. It has no room for doubt. Woo! Man, I just preached myself happy. The Bible says in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. You get yourself in shape when you spend time in prayer. What kind of prayer? Well, most of us pray prayers like this. God, I sure wish I wasn't in this case. God, I wish you'd do something. God, when you gonna move? God, this is getting rough down here. That's not prayer. That's complaining.
Amen.
That's not prayer. And that's how most people pray. Prayer is, here's the best prayer you can ever pray. Can I give you an example? Brone keresti abranara kestelo kovrane shelebira karote do banda de ke. That's the best kind of prayer you can pray. And you ought to pray that way until the mind of Christ begins to open up to you, and then you can begin to hear what he's saying and begin to pray prayers that the mind of Christ, that Jesus is making intercession for you at that time for your very problem.
Amen.
See, Jesus is already praying for you. The other day, he stopped me and said, now, if I'm interceding for you, who do you think I'm interceding to? Myself? And I go, I wouldn't think so. He's interceding to the Father. He's interceding to the Father on your behalf.
Amen.
And there's only one answer the Father ever gives. Yes. Yes.
Amen.
And again, I say, yes. Yes. But now the thing is this. The reason they won't manifest in your life is because, and I'm going to teach this at the immersion rally. Most people, when they read Mark 11:23, and they say, if I will confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in my heart that God raised from the dead, I shall be healed. Mark 11:23 says this. It says, if you will say to the mountain, first of all, Jesus says, have the faith of God. Isn't that right? Have the God kind of faith. Now, this is Jesus talking. If you will say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, what's the next word? And not doubt in your
heart.
Where is your heart? Is your heart in your head?
No.
Is your heart in your big toe?
No.
Where is your heart? It's in your spirit, man. And doubt, and shall not doubt in your heart, what will happen?
We'll be done.
You will have whatever you say. Now, we don't have a problem with the saying part, do we? We got a problem with the believing part. Now, I'm going to teach you something real quick. Many people think because you have the thought of a doubt, you doubted. No, you didn't. That's not doubt. Doubt means, and well, I'll bring out this definition when I'm on that time, but doubt means basically this. I'm walking on the pathway that says I believe. See, faith is an action. Belief is an action. So when I say I believe, it's like when Thomas said, Lord, bid me to come. What did Jesus say? He didn't say, oh, thou great and mighty one full of faith. No, he just said, come. And on that word, come, the boy took off his sandals. The boy raised up his whatever he had on, tied it up, and he began to step off the over that boat. And I can guarantee you the other 11 said, thou fool, you're about to drown. You're about to lose it. What is wrong with you? He said, come, is what he told them. And he didn't do anything else but get out of that boat, and he began to walk.
Amen.
On water. Now, he walked on water. Yes, he began to sink, but he walked on water.
Amen.
Now, he walked several steps, and what happened? He began to take his eyes off of what Jesus said, and he began to think about his circumstances. When you say you believe that God, by his stripes, I'm healed, or you believe, God, I need $20,000 for my ministry, or God, I need this to happen, the moment, if it's in the Word of God, and the moment you say it, God goes, yes. But now here's the problem. You got to first take a step of action and go, I'm walking toward that. I can guarantee you this. The moment you take that first step, slew foot, the one who penetrates, El Diablo,
amen.
Here's what he's going to say. You're going to drown.
Amen.
You're not going to get it.
That's right.
Is that where doubt manifests? No. If you keep walking and say, I give you praise.
Amen.
You've given me this. I will worship you. I magnify you. The doubt, that statement of doubt will be washed away, and you'll walk right into your miracle.
Amen.
But now here's what most people think. That when that thought came to my mind, that means I doubted, so you turned around. Doubt means to do this. Doubt actually means to turn directions and go the other way. Because of what you heard, what you feel, or what somebody said to you, or what you, the pain you felt in your body, or whatever the case may have been, you said it's not going to work this time. And the thing is, that was so strong in you, you agreed with it.
Amen.
That's basically, it's just, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart, God raised from the dead, thou shalt be healed. It's the same thing. But let me ask you a question. How many of you said that saying? Father, I believe that Jesus died. I believe he died and rose again. Father, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. How many have said that? Well, I promised the moment you said that, when you walked out that building that night, here was your conversation. You ain't saved. You ain't saved. What think you got saved? You ain't saved. Look at you. Look how you act. How can you be saved? What makes you think you be saved? Let me ask you a question. What is your evidence that you're saved?
The word of God.
Bam! That's the only evidence you'll ever have.
Amen.
What is the evidence that says you're healed?
The word of God.
The word of God.
The, word of God.
The greatest miracle of all is when you got born again.
Amen.
And the devil couldn't stop it even if he wanted to.
Glory.
Now, if he couldn't stop that one, what makes you think he can stop the one you're believing for now? The person that's stopping you is you.
Amen.
You begin to spend time worshiping God, and that doubt and unbelief will begin to go. You'll begin to get so acquainted and so familiar with God, you won't want to do anything but believe him. Because conviction will begin to flood your heart the moment you begin to go, well, maybe this is not going to work. Man, that conviction from the Holy Ghost, it'll come in so strong, you go, what's wrong with me? No, what's wrong with me? Many of us are going to get to heaven, and we're going to see on the altar the things that we left there that we didn't believe for them by faith.
Amen.
I believe that God has a treasure chest full of goodies for everyone in this room. And I believe he's going to take you there and said, I want to show you something real quick.
Wow.
And he's going to pull this curtain back and he's going to show you all the stuff you left on the shelf. For some of you, it's going to be Chase Bank.
Wow.
For some of you, it's going to be some diamond manufacturing company.
Wow.
For some of you, it's going to be, I don't know. My point is this. There's so much stuff we're leaving on the shelf that we are being talked out of because we won't spend time with God for him to solidify our hearts and our mind that these things are for real.
Amen.
And you don't have time to worship him.
Wow.
I'm making the time. If I have to come to a Bible study sleepy and tired, I'm coming. Why? Because I'm going to get up at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or whatever clock it has to be, and I'm going to spend time worshiping God. I don't care what kind of pain I'm going through. I don't care what kind of problem I may be going through. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to worship God, and I'm not going to be going, oh, thou great one. Oh, holy God Almighty. Oh, how great are thy works. No! I'm going to be saying this. I give you praise. I love you. I know you love me, and I love you. And the love that you love me, I could never reciprocate that love. I know you love me. And that's all I'm going to be telling him, that how much I love him. And when I leave there, I promise you this. Whatever doubt and unbelief I had, it's going to be washed away. And if it doesn't get washed away, well, we got round two coming up at noon. I get a lunch break. I'll work on some more with them. And when I get up at 5, oh, look out. Now, I got a Matt Dillon going to have to chill out because I'm not going to watch him on that night. I'm going to go home, and I'm going to spend time worshiping God. Come on, somebody. We don't understand the things that God has prepared for us. Because he loves us. Healing. All those things. I mean, when I started this worship series, I had pain in my knees. Since I've been worshiping God, you want to play some basketball? I mean, my knees are feeling good. I mean, I get a little something every now and then. But I'm going, it's getting better and better every day.
Amen.
And man, every time I had pain, I'm going to receive my healing.
Amen.
I'm going to receive my healing.
Glory.
And I go in there and worship him. I just give you praise.
Amen.
Did I worship him for the healing? Not really. I just praise him for who he is.
Amen.
Listen, I was going to spend time worrying about the knees thing. Oh, man, I'm 60 years old. Parts of breaking down now. I don't know how long I got. I got to preach in a chair. I saw a lady the other day preaching in a chair. I said, that's going to be me preaching in a chair because I ain't got. I said, no. No. It's not me. Why? He ever liveth to make intercession for me. You think he's up there going, I hope Elvin has bad knees? No. You know what he's saying? I'm believing that Elvin, that because of my stripes, he'll believe he's healed.
Amen.
He'll believe it.
Amen.
He'll believe it. And he's saying, Father, I just pray to you that Elvin begins to worship you in spirit. I pray he begins to open up his mouth and just give you praise and just give you glory until his mind becomes, his unrenewed mind gets turned off. And all he taps into is the mind of the Spirit.
Amen.
That's what Jesus is making intercession in heaven for you. Mm-hmm. That's what you got to understand is going on in heaven for you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't realize the game is rigged, ladies and gentlemen. You win. When you read the Word of God, you win.
Amen.
Then why are we losing? Why are we losing? Why are we losing? Everybody's read their Bible. Has anybody, well, I don't want to put him on the spot, but I guarantee you 90% of the people in this room have read the Bible from cover to cover.
Amen.
You know what it says, but that's not enough.
Amen.
You got to get this and this connected.
Amen.
You got to get this out of the way and your unrenewed and your the mind of the Spirit working for you, so when the storm comes, you go, you ain't going to bother me.
Amen.
You're like the Shadrach, Meshach, and the bad Negro in that fire, man. You're not going to burn me.
Amen.
And I'm coming out of here with the smell of smoke.
Hallelujah.
I'm not worried about you.
Amen.
Wrong monkey. I'm going through this. You're not going to touch me. You're not going to bother me. I am going to go through this.
Amen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not trying to be funny to be funny. I'm trying to break this to you in a kind of a funny way so you can get the point. You can do this.
Amen.
This is doable. But you're going to have to turn off your television, turn off your internet, turn off your laptops, turn off your cell phones.
Yes,
tell your girlfriends, tell your boyfriends, tell all them folk that want to bother you, I'm spending time worshiping God.
Amen.
Talk to you later. Deuces.
Amen.
Deuces. Oh, you can do it like that. I deuces. But here's the point. When I begin to do this, I lost a lot of friends. Because you begin to think differently. You don't think the same way. You think, you go to a hospital room going, I'll be glad when we're done. I'm going to a hospital room going, man, I'm looking for them to get up. I want them to walk out of there. Isn't that right? When we go to the prisons, we're expecting some miracles. And I don't care how many times we lay hands on the same people in them prisons, folks, never grow weary.
Amen.
And go, you know what? This ain't working. No. Tell the devil you're a liar. Tell him he's a liar.
Yes,
this healing power is going to manifest in these men and women.
Amen.
I'm not driving 60, 70 miles on every third Saturday or driving 30, 45 miles to a prison and see nothing happening. No. Something is happening.
Amen.
Bless God. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm moved by what I believe.
Amen.
And I believe the word of God. Mountain moving, power working, power of God in my life. It's working.
Hallelujah.
Okay? Well, how many people have you raised from the dead? How many have you raised from the dead? Frankly, I haven't raised any from the dead. I've raised one person from the dead. Me. That's big enough for me. Okay? So I've been raised from the dead. Now, the thing is this. I expect to see people in this room raise the dead.
Amen.
Why? Because we're going to keep whipping you back into prayer. We're going to keep whipping you back into private worship until you get this.
Amen.
We haven't spent the last 4, 5, 6 months on private worship just because we can't find anything else to preach on. This has been a mandate from God. He wants the church to begin to worship him.
Amen.
He wants you to, in private, worship him. You know the best time to worship God?
Mm-hmm.
Now, so you should ask, you know this question. What's the answer? The best time to worship God?
Every day.
Huh?
All day long.
Nope. Say it again. When all hell's breaking loose in your life, it's the best time to worship God. You know what God says? Look at that. Look at that. They've just lost their car. They just lost their job. They just lost everything. And they threw up their hands and gave me praise.
Go ahead now.
Boy, we finna open up the floodgates.
Praise the Lord.
That's the best time to worship God.
Amen.
The best time. Don't tell me, well, it's all going bad. You the one that said it's going bad. God isn't done yet. Now, if he's off the throne, that's another thing. But the last I checked, he is still on the throne.
Amen.
So he's not done yet. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord.